We're continuing our reading through the epistle of 1 Peter. My challenge still stands to read this letter all the way through. At some point during this week, as we journey through this letter all throughout Easter. This is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. If you've read through this entire letter, or when you do read it, you'll notice one word that keeps coming up again and again and again in 1 Peter. Suffer. Suffering. This is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that would be God's will, than for doing evil. Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God in that name. Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Peter talks about suffering 16 times in his letter, the short letter. He talks about it more than any other author in any other book in the entire scriptures. Because for Peter, suffering is the very heart of the matter for a believer. You're going to suffer to follow him. But when he talks about it, it's like he has a pep in his step. Like he's excited about suffering. He's overjoyed at the opportunity. He says it's a gracious thing when you suffer. You'll be blessed when you suffer. Rejoice when you suffer. Glorify God when you suffer. Because for Peter, suffering for the Christian, everyone suffers. But for the Christian, you suffer in a different way. You suffer with hope in Jesus. And Peter's preparing his people here in Rome that when you suffer, you look to Christ. Behold him. Suffering and hope, they go hand in hand for the believer. You can't have one without the other. You can't have all hope without any suffering in this world. Come on. It's a broken world out there and you're a sinner. You're going to experience suffering. But you're also not going to have all hope without suffering, and you're not going to have all suffering without hope. That'd be unbiblical, unchristian, because you're in Christ. And so when you suffer with hope in him, a living hope in your Savior. Look to Christ. Peter's preparing his people because Christians suffer. You know how they suffered in the early church? First century Rome, the people that Peter's writing this letter to, you know how they suffered back then? You probably wouldn't know unless you researched yourself and read Roman history from the first and second century. But the church suffered for three primary reasons because they were misunderstood by the culture. First, they suffered because the culture thought they were cannibals. They thought they were cannibals. And they looked at them strange and peculiar, like a weird group of people. Who are these people that talk about eating flesh and drinking blood? Let's lock them up. The early church suffered because of this. This was a term the world constantly threw at them, that they were cannibals, and also that they were, believe me, atheists. Christians were known as atheists in the early church because they only believed in one God. And back then, you believed in thousands of gods. There was a pantheon of gods. You had a god for every room in the house, god for every street corner, god for every food that you ate, for every jewelry that you wore. There was tons of gods. And for Jews and Christians to say there is only one God, they were called atheists. They suffered much because of this. The whole world thought that they were strange people. Who are these people? Cannibals and atheists. And the other thing that they suffered from, misunderstood by their world, incestuous people who talked about love for brother and love for sister. What's that about? Early church suffered because of this misunderstanding in their culture. And it wasn't like the church wasn't answering all their accusations. It's just the world gave little concern. They didn't care. They shut their ears off. And it was a crime to be a Christian. I found a letter. There was a Roman senator by the name of Cornelius Tacitus. He was also a Roman historian. He writes this in A.D. 80, about 20 years after Peter writes his letter, to prepare his Christians to suffer. Now, Tacitus is not a Christian. He's a Roman senator. But you get a flavor for what the world was talking about during their day. He writes, to kill the rumors, Nero charged and tortured some people hated for their evil practices. This group, popularly known as Christians. The founder of this sect, Christ, was put to death by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, when Tiberius was emperor. Their deadly superstition has been suppressed temporarily, but it's beginning to spring up again, even in Rome. And first, those who confessed to being Christians were arrested. And on information obtained from them, hundreds more were arrested, more for their antisocial beliefs than for fire raising. In their deaths, they were made a mockery of. They were covered in the skins of wild animals, and torn to death by dogs, and crucified and set on fire, so that when darkness fell, they burned like torches in the night. Accused of evil practices, deadly superstition, antisocial beliefs. The early church was locked up, suffered, and martyred. Peter says, this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. And likewise, you have been called to do the same, to suffer. In your confirmation vows, you make a promise, not to me, but to the Lord, that you are willing to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from Christ, your Savior. The world has been locking up Christians for their antisocial beliefs for 1900 years. It's not going to change. And the world's not thrilled with your belief in any God. Back then, it was that you only believed in one and not thousands, but now it's that you believe in any God. The world has changed. The Christian church has not. And you confess Jesus before men. That's what you're about to do, which means that you're going to suffer. On top of all the other things that this world throws at you, you're going to suffer. Because you'll come across decisions every day. Big decisions at work, maybe, where to follow Jesus, will hurt your bottom line. Or decisions in your home, where it will hurt your pride. But you do the right thing anyways, no matter what you suffer, because this is a gracious thing. I'm tempted to ask sometimes in life that if the Lord, not just tempted, we do this. If the Lord is a good shepherd, then why do we suffer so much? Why does he impose these sufferings upon us? Why does he allow the devil to inflict so much harm and terror and doubts and fill me up? And on top of this, we find ourselves unfit and weak and impatient and still laden with many sins. But Peter says, when you suffer with hope in Christ. Look to Christ, he writes. Christ committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. And when he suffered, he didn't threaten. He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You have hope. You hold fast to Christ through it all, and you say, let the devil and the world, even my own conscience, oppose me as violently as they may. Let them roast me. Let them throw their arrows at me. Let them drive them deep and make me toss and turn. I have a Savior, a good shepherd who laid down his life for me, and my hope's in him. And I know his voice. It's a kind and sweet and strong and comforting voice that assures me that you are mine and nothing can snatch you out of my hand. Hear me. You have hope in me. You have eternal life in me. My grace is sufficient for you. And if some suffering proves too much, or because of some weakness, some sin still clings to you, I will not reject you. For I'm a good shepherd who watches over even the weakest of sheep, who binds up their wounds and heals them. So rejoice in your suffering. They're a gracious thing because in them you become more like me. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore and confirm, strengthen and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.